Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the final words of Jesus from the cross ring out across all human history and still ring in our ears now after we have heard them. It is finished. And maybe to some who heard those words of Jesus on that day, this sounded like a cry of defeat. Things were going well for a while, and now they're not quite going so well. My life is over. It is finished. That's certainly what his enemies wanted to be hearing when Jesus cried out from the cross. But that is far from what Jesus is saying here with these simple words. Jesus is not defeated on the cross, but he is victorious on the cross in his death for our salvation. The death of Christ does not come as a surprise to him. It's not like it wasn't part of the plan, but you heard Jesus say over and over and over again in the Passion reading that he goes toward the cross willingly. He said to Peter, "Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has prepared for me to drink?" And in John chapter 10, Jesus clearly says, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord." Jesus' death isn't random or haphazard. It's according to the Father's will. It's according to Jesus' will. He goes to the cross intentionally, boldly, confidently. At his cross, he wins your victory. It is finished. And in Jesus' crucifixion, everything that he set out to accomplish for your salvation is accomplished. That's what he means by "it is finished." He has fulfilled the entire scriptures in his life, in his ministry, in his person. He has paid the entire penalty of sin. He has accomplished all for your salvation. He has paid the debt in full. It is finished. All is finished regarding Christ's fulfillment of Scripture. Because just like his death wasn't random or haphazard, his entire life was not random or haphazard, but everything was intentional. Everything was planned out. Everything was planned out in order that you might be saved. And it was like that from God's first promise to his sinful, fallen people in Genesis chapter 3:15, where he spoke to Eve saying that from the seed of the woman there would come a man who would crush the head of Satan. And then over and over and over again in the Old Testament scriptures, God gave that same promise to his people again, saying that he would send to them a Savior, his chosen one, his Christ, who would save his people by the forgiveness of their sins. So much of Jesus' life is intentional. Him proving that he is the one promised from of old by God. He is that man who will crush the head of Satan. He is the one who will save you by the forgiveness of your sins. So much of Jesus' life he does in order to fulfill those Old Testament prophecies. Do you remember this when he's preaching at the synagogue in his hometown in Nazareth? And he takes the scroll down from the prophet Isaiah. This is in Luke chapter 4. And he reads from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolls up the scroll, and he says to the people who heard him, "This is being fulfilled in your hearing." This is being fulfilled in your hearing. Isaiah was pointing to me. That's what he's saying there. And then what did so much of his ministry consist of? Doing just that. Proving himself to be the promised one from God. Healing paralytics. Giving sight to the blind. Lifting the oppression from the poor. Preaching good news in the year of the Lord's favor for all mankind. He did all of these things, he preached all of these things, and he marches forward to the cross in order that he can fully accomplish all of that for your salvation. And just like his life is an intentional fulfillment of that Old Testament scripture, in the same way, so is his death. You noticed over and over and over again when we read that passion reading from John, that John is very careful to give details about the death of Christ and then show when that is a fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. For example, when they divided his garments among them, and then they took his tunic and did not tear it, but rather cast lots for it. This is a direct fulfillment of Psalm 22:18. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And in the same way, Jesus from the cross said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. And this is a direct fulfillment of Psalm 69:21. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. Jesus does these things so that people who had heard these psalms over and over and over again throughout their entire life, they had them engraved on their hearts. They could probably just say them from memory so that they could look at Jesus up on the cross and say, right before my very eyes, that is the one that has been promised. That is the one that we've been looking for. That is the one who is the Savior. And in the same way, Jesus' legs were not broken at the end of the crucifixion. Do you remember this detail? The soldiers broke the legs of the two other men that were crucified with him, but they did not break Jesus' legs because he was already dead. And John says this fulfills the Old Testament scripture. And what is that Old Testament scripture? It's the command that God gives to the people of Israel concerning the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12. The Passover lamb was not supposed to have any of its bones broken. And John ties Jesus on the cross together with that Passover lamb to show that just like John the Baptist said, Jesus up on the cross is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He goes through all of this in order to fulfill the scriptures. And according to the fulfillment of the scriptures, all is finished, all is taken care of. And also regarding his obedience, his perfection, all is finished, all is taken care of. He perfectly obeyed the law of God where sinful man simply cannot. He perfectly walked with the ways of God and was the pure, innocent sacrifice who had done no wrong of his own, but instead is offered up to take on our sin, the sin of the ones who so often fall short. When we look at the cross, we have to recognize that it is our sin that put Jesus there. And there's no denying that all of us are sinners. When we examine our own hearts, when we examine God's perfect law before our very eyes, we know it to be true. Like Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thinking through our own lives, thinking from what comes out of our hearts, out of our minds, and happens with our actions. Every time that we have thought other things in this world were more important than God, or thought that our own will and our own ways were more important than God's will or His ways, every idle time that we misused God's name, turning the name of Christ into some kind of common curse word, or not giving God's name the honor that it deserves. Every time that we do not honor God's word as it deserves, thinking that the things of this world or the things that are more important to me are more important than hearing God's word. Every time that we despise, reject, and rebel against those God-given authorities that He has given us. Every hateful, murderous thought, action that we have toward those whom God has created, our neighbors. Every lustful thought, word, and action. Every time we take something that does not belong to us. Every time we talk behind somebody's back. Every time we slander someone. Every time we desire something that is not ours and are not content with the things God has chosen to give us. These are the things that flow out of our hearts. These are the things that put Jesus on the cross. These are the things that He carried, paid for. And when we see Him up on the cross, when we see His anguish, we see the severity of our sin. We see the cost of our sin that put Him there and caused Him to suffer such. We see the spiritual anguish. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. We see the spiritual torment that caused Him to cry out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? When we see Jesus on the cross, we see the physical torment. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. When we see all this, when we see the spiritual torments, when we see the physical torments, and we know that the reason why He went to the cross is because I put Him there, this certainly fills us with sorrow. This certainly fills us with grief regarding our sins. But when we look upon the cross, we can also know this, that just like it was not random or haphazard, anything that Jesus did in His life or His death, you can know that He went to the cross out of love, by His own will, because of His great mercy, because of His great compassion toward you. He willingly took on the cross. He willingly took on your sin. He willingly took on the grief, the sorrow, the shame, the punishment. And He did it for you. He did it out of love. He did it out of His mercy. And when He suffered all that, when He suffered all of that with you at the forefront of His mind, He suffered all even to the point of death, giving up His entire life on the cross, crying out from the cross, "It is finished," and giving up His spirit. And when He said that, He meant that your debt is paid in full. The penalty of your sins that you deserved has been paid in full. He paid the full penalty through His suffering and death. When He says it is finished, He means that He gave up His entire life. He gave up His entire life dying the death that you deserved in order that you might have His life. He accomplished all for your salvation. There is now no more any other sacrifice necessary. Christ has done it all. So when Satan tries to accuse you in saying that you're not forgiven, or that there's something more that you need to do in order to accomplish what Jesus left behind, you can say to him the words that Jesus did, "It is finished." Like St. Paul tells us, there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Looking to the cross and seeing our dying Lord, we see the punishment we deserved, and therefore the high cost of our salvation. But we also see Christ's great and abundant mercy for you. We see him paying the death that you deserved in order that you might have his life. We see him paying the debt of your sin in order that you might have his righteousness. All is accomplished. On the cross, all is paid for. It is finished. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If you so wish to leave a